All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter number 7. John, chapter number 7. I like it when I get a cold. I can actually hit some of those low notes, you know, when it's singing time. You know, being PTF and talking about education, there was a boy who wasn't doing real well in school. And he's had a little father-son chat, you know, dad had with his boy, and goes to school the next day and goes up to the teacher and says, "Ma'am, I don't want to scare you, but my dad said if I don't start getting better grades, someone's going to get a spanking." I don't think he quite understood what dad was trying to get at, amen? There's another kid, one of those smart aleck kids. I was trying to think of a name, and there's too many to mention, so just put your kid's name in there, John. And comes up, the teacher says, "Would you punish me for something I didn't do?" The teacher says, "Of course not." He says, "Good, I didn't do my homework." John chapter 7, tonight I want to talk about straight-A teachers. Straight-A teachers. John chapter 7, verses 45 and 46. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" They were sent to get Jesus. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Never man spake like this man. Jesus was the master teacher. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for what our kids have been learning in school. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to have a Christian school and be a part in our children's education, and I pray that we would make sure we are an active part in their education and not just leave it to the school. We're grateful, Lord, that you have given us some good godly people to work with our kids. Help us now as we look at your word, look at the example of you, Lord Jesus, and pray that we'll just pick up a few things that we can take home and put into our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Much of a person's education is dependent upon the teacher. And we know that God has given the responsibility of instructing children to the parents and to the church. Therefore, all the people who are involved in education should take the matter very, very seriously. So, I'm not going to try to make a case for Christian education. We all believe in it, so I'm not going to try to build that case here why we're better than the public schools and all that. But I do want to challenge us to make sure that we are the educators that we should be. And I say we, even if you're not a teacher, if you are a parent, if you work in Sunday school classes, if you teach children in any way, these principles that we're going to talk about tonight all apply to every one of us. You know, it's not just the pastors, not just the youth pastors, not just the Sunday school teachers, the teachers for the Christian school. It's parents. All of us who touch children's lives should make sure we put some of these characteristics we'll look about at Christ about in our lives. And our text tells us that the reason these officers didn't capture Jesus and bring him back to the chief priests and stuff was that he had captivated them by his teaching. He said, "Never man spake like this man." They've never heard it like that before. It must have been a slap in the face to the chief priests. Obviously, they weren't quite the teachers that they ought to be. Now, Emily, ask you this question. How captivating are you when you teach? Christian school teacher? Do the kids really want to come to class and listen to what you're going to say next? Parent? When you have family devotions? When you're just talking? Do they just blow you off? Or do you really have something to give to them? Amen? Same thing with Sunday school class. We've got to make sure we've got something. And Jesus provides us with a tremendous example to follow as teachers. So I want to consider three words that describe Christ as a master teacher. And then we'll know what we should be like as teachers also. So all three points begin with the letter A. And hopefully we'll all get straight A's by the time we're done. Amen? The first word that describes Christ as the master teacher is authoritative. authoritative. Because authority is one of the greatest elements missing in homes and classrooms, you know, it shouldn't surprise us that very few children are growing up being mature and successful anymore, because there's no authority in classrooms. And kids are allowed to do what they want to do. And parents and teachers who treat their kids like buddies, and they lose all respect, and they don't have much influence over them. And it's amazing how young teachers or student teachers or people new to it, they want to be their buddy. Parents sometimes want to be buddies with their kids. Now, I'll have a good time with my kids, but I am not the kid down the street. And they're not going to teach me like to treat me like the kid down the street. Or we're going to have some chats. Amen? Now, teachers who are afraid of telling their students that they're wrong have no business teaching. Now, that's what the public schools are filled with today. Not just today, for years. They can't tell anybody that they're wrong. It might hurt and damage their self-esteem. And they won't grow up and be successful, productive members of society. Yeah, so what do they grow up instead? No one can tell them what to do. They become thieves, alcoholics, drug addicts, and everything else, right? So their system really works pretty well, doesn't it? You know, I think it might do some good to damage their self-esteem in that sense. But when children are allowed to do as they please, not much is going to be accomplished. So soft, permissive authority is not authority then, is it? And when parents and teachers portray such a spirit, they misrepresent God, because God is the authority, and children often get the wrong picture of the authority of God because they lack godly authority in their homes and in their schools. And I'm glad we got a Christian school. I'm really happy because we can have godly authority there. Now, Jesus was hard. He was firm. I mean, some of the disciples walked back after hearing Jesus speak, and they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Man, it was too hard for them. Jesus was hard on Peter. He looked at Peter, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's pretty hard. You know? He wasn't soft-pedaling things here. Now, I want to explain a few things, because some people go to the extremes. All right? We've got to understand what biblical authority is. And the scriptures give us some ideas, and I want you to turn to a couple passages with me. And Matthew chapter 21, I want to just show a few things about authority, and then we'll get on to the other 2 points of the lesson, and we'll be done. But I got a few thoughts on this idea of authority. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 23. First thing I want you to see about authority is that authority comes from God. Students, remember that, amen? It comes from God. Verse 23, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Well, we know the answers, don't we? He didn't give them the answer. They already knew the answer, but they didn't want to hear it. Who gave him that authority? His father did. Jesus had confidence because he knew where his authority came from. He went in there. He didn't care what anybody thought. He went in there and taught because that was what he was supposed to do. And God wants us who have the opportunity and the privilege to have some authority and to be in a position to work with children, whether it's our own kids, Sunday school kids, the classroom. He wants us to be confident in our position. So many people, "I don't know if I can be a good dad. I don't know if I can be the right kind of mommy." Just do it, amen? Follow God's word. And in the Sunday school class, we have to have confidence that we can do what God gives us that authority. No parent or teacher should ever be afraid. They should be confident. Second thing about authority is that authority should be used to serve others, not self. In chapter 21 again, same verse, 23, what was Jesus doing? It says that the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. How did Jesus use, and what did he do with his authority? He used it to serve others by teaching. And then who came upon them? The chief priests and the elders. What did they do with their authority? They were trying to suppress Jesus and oppress the people. Complete abuse of authority. There are parents out there who abuse their authority in the home. I'm the dad. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Wife, do that. They abuse their authority, and they don't help the people underneath them. That's not what Christ did. Now, another thing about authority, third thing about authority, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'm moving quickly. Mr. Wright preached a message already, so I got to just put the icing on the top and be done with it. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse number 15, Paul was speaking to Titus, and he said this: these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Third thing I want you to see about authority is authority should be balanced. Balanced. Too many people think that to be an authoritarian, to be authoritarian, yeah, I'm done with that one. Too much cold medicine. You have to be rough. To be an authority, you got to be rough. You know, I don't see that here. Are there any accounts of Jesus being a bully? Is there? Was he authoritative? Yes, but was he ever a bully? No. You see, being caustic, being abrasive, is not synonymous with being authoritative. And a lot of people think that. There are some people who have no authority and they don't exercise any authority, and then there's other people who go way over the top. They just grunt enough. Titus chapter 2, verse 15 gives us some good balance that we should follow. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, most people have the last part down. Rebuke with all authority. Yeah. However, that's only part of the command. How about speak with all authority? How about exhort with all authority? If we would do some teaching with authority and encouraging our children, that's what exhortation means, encourage them, build them up, we would have to do less of the last one, rebuking with all authority. No, but those other ones aren't as fun. That last one, man, that's the good one, man. No, it's not the good one. We need to have some balance with our authority. And so authority doesn't have to be rough and running people over all the time. It looks for the best interest of those that it serves. That's what Jesus was like. Now, question we should ask ourselves, are we always looking for our own interests or for the interests of other people? Now, let me move on to another point about authority. Authority makes a difference. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Man, they couldn't believe it. For he taught them as one having what? Authority, and not as the scribes. Now, some people, when they come from other schools into our school, they're, whoa. Yeah, because people teach as having authority, not like their old teachers from their old school. But our teachers should have authority, and they should use the authority. But authority makes a difference. Jesus taught as having authority, and it made a difference in the hearers. They wanted to hear. They noticed a difference. And when you know your subject matter, you know what you're talking about, people are going to listen to you. So we need to strive to be knowledgeable authority, not just, you know. If we say someone knows a lot about a subject, we say that they are the authority on it, right? We need to be knowledgeable. We need to be the authority on some things. And our kids need to know that we know what we're talking about. And if you have a history of not knowing what you're talking about, they're not going to listen to you. We got to know what we're talking about. So your knowledge and your willingness to share that knowledge is going to demand a lot more respect than harsh ultimatums that we issue to people. Do that! No. Over quickly to Mark chapter 1. A fifth thing about authority is authority gets things done. Mark chapter 1. In verse number 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Yeah, because he had authority and he did things with authority. He just got some things done. God gives us authority to be productive for him. Let's, as parents, as teachers, as Sunday school teachers, determine that we're going to use the opportunities God's given us to produce some diligent, godly children. So, to be an effective teacher, do you have an A so far? Are you authoritative? You got to be more than authoritative, though. You've got to be, secondly, you need to be approachable. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Authoritative, I think a lot of people in this room have that. Hopefully not too many are going over the top with that one. But in Matthew chapter number 11, verse 29 and 30, we need to be approachable. Again, who's the master teacher? The Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm sorry, we'll look at, we'll start in verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You hear what Jesus says? Come unto me. He wants people to come to him. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, I like it when our teachers, you know, we go down to these meetings and our teachers will get up and say, you know, if your kids have if they're struggling with something like math, like what kid doesn't struggle with math, right? If they're struggling with a problem, they just can't get it, call me. I like that. You know why? Because they're approachable. They want to help. That's a Christ-like attitude. But we have to be that way even as parents. Unfortunately, a lot of people who are authoritative are not very approachable, are they? You ever known some people like that? Man, they're the big man. Yeah, in Zambia, they're called the Bwana. The Bwana. He's the big boss. Oh, yeah, he's got it, but they're not very approachable. Jesus provides a wonderful, balanced example of this to follow also. He says, "Come unto me." And it wasn't just his words that invited him. It was his demeanor. I'm not saying being a softy. I don't think Jesus was that. He was hard. He was firm. But I think we also have to, with our lives, use that authority the right way so that people will want to come to us, that it's not an irritation for our kids to come and talk to us. Man. Think of the weaker people of society that felt welcome to approach our Lord. Children, they weren't afraid of him. No problem, they wanted to go see him. Widows, the sick, the blind, the helpless ones. Are children afraid to approach you because you might snap at them or rip their heads off? If so, you're not getting an A. You need to be approachable. The Syrophoenician woman approached him crying, "Lord, help me." Can you ever think of a time that Jesus was too busy to help someone else? Can you come up with an example where Jesus wouldn't help somebody who needed it? I can't. So he's a good pattern for us to follow then, isn't he? So shouldn't we be approachable? So approachable that our children, our students, would feel welcome to come and bring any legitimate concern to us? Now, I know there's that age where, I mean, it's like every minute there's another what? What's that? And then you answer it, and then there's a follow-up question, and it just goes on and on and on. After about, you know, 20 questions, you say, all right, that's enough for now. But the reason Jesus had time for others is because he came to serve. And there's not a hint of selfishness in him. And when people in authority are abrasive and impatient and caustic and threatening, children are going to be very apprehensive to approach them. Let's make sure we're not that way, amen? God doesn't want us to be. He wants us to be approachable, just like Jesus. I do believe there are children who are afraid to approach their parents and teachers to ask even legitimate questions just because of the reaction they think they're going to get, or maybe the reaction they've gotten many times. Let's make sure we're not guilty of that. I mean, a kid who asks a question in class and then the teacher says, didn't you listen the first time explain that? That's stupid. Just go ahead and get some help from someone else. You know, maybe he did listen, just didn't quite understand it. Was just asking. And kid comes up at home. Dad, can I ask you a question about? And the dad shuts him down and says, can't you see I'm busy checking out the news on the internet? Oh, yeah, you're the authority, all right. But not very approachable. He may have had a real need. It's no wonder why kids don't feel free to come and talk to you about important matters. Jesus maintained his authority, but he also welcomed even the sorriest of people. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Pretty bad guys, right? And stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. He was willing even to let those guys come. They didn't want to. So you need to be, as a teacher, as a parent, we need to be authoritative and approachable. But lastly, we must also be affectionate. Mark chapter number 10. We need to have love and concern for our kids. I mean, why on else would you want to be a teacher? Why would you want to be a Sunday school teacher? Just have a position? Why did you want children if you're a parent? I hope it's so that you would love them. What drew people to Jesus and made him such a great teacher? I think part of it was the fact that he loved the people he talked to. And they knew it. They sensed it. They picked up on it. And we need to ask ourselves why we lead, why we teach, why we correct those who are under our authority. Is it just because it's duty and we're supposed to do it, or because we really love them? We need to make that check every once in a while. If our motivation for teaching our children was love, wouldn't we do a much better job knowing that what we're doing makes all the difference in the world? Look in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22, we have the account here. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Let's skip down here in verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. We see here that the young ruler, rich young ruler, he had a question for Jesus, and a couple things about his response. First thing we see is that he loved him. He knew the man was going to walk away sorrowful, in which he did. He knew that was going to happen. But despite this guy's shortcomings, he loved him anyway. It's easy to get frustrated with kids, isn't it? But don't get so frustrated that you stop loving them. Every parent and teacher's got to learn to have a love for their children despite their problems. I remember as a principal many years ago, I was counseling a man, he had some bad kids. He doesn't come to church, and this guy, he was a problem. But he had some bad kids in the school. And it's no wonder, because they're bad at home, because he was bad. And he was going on and on complaining about his kids, and all I'm doing is correcting my kids. And he says, it's so bad that I don't even like being home around my kids. No wonder why they were the problems they were, right? He was the authority, always correcting his kids, but did he have any love? No, he didn't want anybody around him. Notice also that Jesus demonstrated true love by telling the man what he needed to hear and not what he wanted to hear. The guy said, I've kept all these commandments. He says, one thing thou lackest, go and sell what you have. It made him sad, and he grieved, and he walked away. But he told him what he needed to hear. I'm tired of people in authority having to soft pedal things, and especially with their children. Well, I've got to make this acceptable and palatable to my children. I need to sell them on this one. No, we don't have to sell them on anything. Part of love is being firm, telling them what they need to hear, and that's it. Amen? Love tells them the truth, but it does it in a compassionate manner. So we've considered three A's from the life of Christ. Authoritative, he was approachable, and he was affectionate. If you were graded as a parent or a teacher right now, would you have straight A's? We need to. Shouldn't be satisfied with just getting an A in the authority category. We need to work on the approachable, the affectionate, because that's more Christ-like. Every person dealing with children would do well to follow the example of Christ. And if we can have the right balance in those three areas, we're going to find that our children will have the opportunity to excel for God. And kids, what's your duty? Respect your authority. Learn to go to them for help and respond to their love. If we all did our job, things are going to work out real well. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for how you